July 21st, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
say how you want this, and I would do anything. I said I don't want to mess around. You say it's so easy. Hate yourself in the morning, but something you'd always laugh about. Now I'm the imposter, a gag reel of what conversation. Tickets, and you'll pay for the drinks you had to put up with this OCD. I thought it was easy. I revised my view on the matter, something I tried to laugh about. Now I'm the imposter. It's worthwhile as long as you don't really need me. It's alright. I'm lacking. Say how you want this, and I would do anything. I said I don't want to mess around. You say it's so easy. You'll hate yourself in the morning. Something you'd always laugh about.
Watch for Pedro Show in Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. Predisposed with the summer school sketch. Also had some, I think, wisdom teeth yanked. So hopefully for a speedy recovery to Brother Matt. I am not completely alone here at my pad in Pedro, because through the amazing engineers of Estonia and their Skype invention, I got with me Jan Bart Leu and Chris van der Ploeg. I hope I didn't butcher your heritage language too much. Sorry. Welcome aboard the Watt from Pedro Show. Who wants to go first? We all want to go through your journey in music. Who wants to go first? Chris or you, Jan Bart?
Yeah, I think I've been in bands for longer, so
you should start.
Let's start with me.
Okay, Chris, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
I always tell myself that I think when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I was born in 78, and I think I have a very early memory of watching television with my parents and seeing John Lennon walk down a pathway. I think that was just shortly after he got killed. And I always tell myself that's one of my earliest memories in general. But it's also, I think it was in 81 when I saw, and of course that's not a musical thing in itself, because just a man walking, but, you know, being that man being John Lennon, I see that as my first.
Because he was a musician.
Exactly, yeah.
So, okay. Can I ask you this, Chris? Was there music in the house? Did your parents play?
Absolutely, yeah. My dad, he was a 60s man.
What did he play, guitar?
He was a drummer.
I
never seen him drum because he was a plumber and he was a fireman, a voluntary fireman. So he was always busy with that stuff. And he has two kids. So, you know, that's already, you know, there goes your time, you know.
Where was the drum set?
The drum set was in the attic.
Okay, so you used to practice in the attic.
No, it wasn't set up. It was just put away. So I never see my dad drum until I was 18 or something.
So what happened was, when the family came, he had to kind of retire the drum set.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you really want it, you can still do it. So I think he had different priorities. And
sure.
There was music in the house. I played my dad's records. You know, I love the Shadows. Hank Marvin was one of my earliest guitar heroes. You know, the Cliff Richard and the Shadows, the Beatles. I was a huge Beatles fan when I was about 8. I wasn't a big Stones fan, but he had Stones record.
Chris, do you remember the first record that you bought yourself?
I don't know if I bought it myself. My first vinyl single I got for Sinterklaas, which is like a Dutch Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was...
a little helper, man. You know what the greatest thing about that story is? If you're bad, not only do they send you to Spain, but they put sticks in your shoes.
Yeah, it's going to put you in a bit sack.
I mean, the sticks in the shoes, that's... That used to get Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers, too. You know, talk about intense. A lump of coal in the sack, sent to Spain, but the sticks in the shoes.
It's actually, you know, when I was a child, you know, the Black Pete thing is really in discussion nowadays, because I worked for an English company for 2 years, and I told my English colleagues, you know, what was going on, and they were like, yeah, but, you know, that's so racist, you know, dressing up as a, you know, and as a child, I was, you know, I only saw the innocent part of it, but now, as I get older, I realize how sensitive the subject is to a lot of people.
Well, we believe it or not, you know, actually, Nick Toshes has an interesting book on the roots of country music, and it's tied up in this thing called Minstrel, and it was not Christmas, but it was dressing up with blackface, and actually, the Al Jolson movie's about this, to some extent, so it's trippy.
Yeah.
You're a guitar man, right?
Yeah. But
was the guitar the first instrument you tried?
No. The first single was by the Dutch Boys. It was called Boer Harms, which is like, it was about a farmer, and it had all these farm
boys.
Oh,
Boer, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
South Africa had Boers, yeah.
Yeah, and I was 6, and every day I walked out of school, I sang the song out loud to impress one of the mothers.
Okay.
Waiting there.
So you were a singer first?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay.
You can see that, yeah, but I only sing
publicly. Now, what brought the guitar?
I started with music lessons, just music theory with a recorder. So I got a recorder.
You're talking about in school?
There was a music school in where I grew up as well. So, I learned a recorder and just, you know, music notes.
Sure.
I forgot all about it. But and then I wanted to try the saxophone. But there was don't ask me why, but I like the saxophone. And but there was a long list.
Too many people also like the saxophone.
I don't know why. But
no, but I had the same problem when I tried to take music in school, too, in 7th grade. So they put me on clarinet.
Wow.
Yeah, I lasted 10 weeks.
Clarinet is like a relative of the saxophone.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. The teacher said I tried hard, I just didn't have it. He suggested I quit. So I never did clarinet again. I ended up doing bass with D. Boone, but I'm interested. What happened? Okay, so you're on the recorder. You want to play saxophone?
Yeah, it didn't work. I considered drums.
Yeah.
But then I went for guitar, and I got my first Spanish guitar when I was, I think, about 10 or 11. My parents bought it. I still have it at home. I got guitar lessons from Mr. Kempf. He was German.
Yeah.
And he moved to the Netherlands, and I got guitar lessons for about 5 years. He taught me a lot of ear training.
Yeah.
It was just a nice guy. He wasn't a virtuoso guitarist himself, but he knew a lot about teaching, and I think I developed a really good ear with him.
And maybe a good foundation.
Good foundation.
Exactly. And in the end, I could play stuff like Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton, which is when you're 15 or 16, it's quite,
Yeah, I remember. You want to copy songs that are already on records.
Yeah, yeah. So, and just like I'm playing a note now, can you play that note on your guitar just by ear? And really, I still benefit from it. You know, when I put on a record and I just think, oh, that's a D chord, or that's a D diminished, or that's a minor, major seventh, all that stuff, I can hear it. So that's not everything.
Thank you, Mr. Kempf. You know what? I forgot to say what we started the show off with. It was John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Blue and Green, and then I took your name with Would Do Anything. We're going to play another I Took Your Name song called Wonderlines. What can you tell me about this?
It's a song that I wrote for my old band. I used to be in a band called Audio Transparent. I think we'll get there later.
We'll play some next hour.
Yeah, it was a B-side. It wasn't a 3-inch CD. Our drummer back then, he still works in a record store. And he said, oh, guys, I desperately want to do a 3-inch CD single. But we just released an album. We took one of the songs of the album and just added three, it's like an EP. One of the songs on that was Wonderlines. It's like a really short song. It's just basically a repetition of an even smaller song. It's just a really song played twice. You can say like that.
Sure. Let's listen to it right now.
Wonderlines came to my surprise. I sat in the car and wonderlines I should have been around when you were in the dark. Daddy, save a little song for me. And wonderlines came to my surprise. I sat in the car and wonderlines I should have been around. Dark. Daddy, save a little song for me.
Get out!
I'd just go drink again. Oh, now to be the good I drink again. Oh, baby, I'm still fool, I'm in love with you. Every time I sing and I wait on what to do. Good guys don't know my name, baby, that's not true. Hey, baby, can you tell me what can I do? Hey, baby, can I turn you wrong? Must be a good man, I'm not gone. Get that fucking fool again. Hey, baby, what did I go wrong? Get back in love with you, I'm not dumb.
was walking on one cloudy morning with a certain shadow on my soul. Underneath a shadow that was yearning, he's on walking on the burning coal.
Girl that will stay out. brick. Woke up tired.
Absence of compassion.
His ear was hanging off. She made a mess in the kitchen. Hiroshima, the scouts relish their hangovers.
Watch for Pedro Show started off with Wonderlines from the very world famous 3-inch EP, CD EP from Audio Transparent way back. Then we heard the Dicks doing Shit Fool Live, Al's Bag brand new single Reign of Fear, Black Moss Super Rainbow, Brotherhood of Sisters, brand new from Gogo Bordella, Walking on the Burning Coal, brand new from the 210s on repeat, Tenko with Opinion, that's from the 90s, Tokyo. Chato Ghetto, brand new, Thar All Is Aching, that's trippy, Thar All. That's a, you know, it's not the pronoun, okay? I'm possessive. It's the other one. The third one. Guided by Voices. Actually, this is an old record. Now they just put out a new record. 101st album. And this is Absent the Man. Nervous Gender with Nothing to Hide. Brand new from Howie Reed, Brick by Brick, and finally Jan Bart with Doorbell Ditty Number One. Sure. Earliest musical memory, Jan Bart.
Yeah, I don't have one distinct memory that is like a definite first memory, but music was in the house mainly because of my father.
Well, I didn't say first, I just said the earliest.
he always played classical piano music himself, and he also played.
Music. Oh, you had a piano in the house.
Yeah, he played it a lot. He was not the greatest player, but it was very good to have, to listen to it when you're sleeping in the bed, when you're like a toddler. So that was always great. And he, I think one of the oldest records I remember is like having organ music by Bach, which I really, when I was really young. So that should be probably my first.
He played a lot of that album in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he was the one taking charge of the record player.
Did he suggest you try piano when you were a young man?
Absolutely. I played piano. Well, of course, the recorder first, because that's what you do. That's when you,
oh, just like Chris in school, you played recorder.
Yeah, well, not in school. It was outside of school.
Oh. This that's different tradition than over here.
Yeah, we got music later in school.
Okay.
Like in high school, but not in elementary or stuff like that. It came later.
Did you get lessons in the piano?
Yeah, sure. Some years, yeah. Five years until I think I was 14, 15. Then I stopped because the teachers didn't... they could not really offer me the music I was really interested in. I turned out to be a big jazz man, but I learned about that much, much later when I was in my 20s. And that's after that I started started playing music again.
Okay.
I did not.
Can you tell me what was the first record you bought? That you bought yourself?
That must have been some stupid compilation of early 90s music, I'm afraid. Chili Peppers was a big one.
Get close to the mic, can't hear you.
Blood Sugar Sex Magik was one of the first, with Green Day and stuff like that. Early 90s, I think, later, mid 90s, that's when I started buying records. That's my favorite, not many.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about... I didn't get a chance to get into this with Chris, but do you remember the first time you started playing with other people?
Sorry, what was that a question for Chris?
I didn't get to ask Chris this, but I'm asking you now. Can you remember first playing with other people, like people from school, after school, the garage, or something like that?
No, I didn't play until much, much later.
Okay, till after school, okay. Then Chris, are you still there? Did you have any high school bands where you played with cats after school?
I was a newspaper boy,
yeah,
delivery boy, and there were some guys doing that as well. And I was about 16 then. I just quit guitar lessons, I wanted to start a band. You know, I had that urge. So there were two guys. I still see them. And one was a drummer, one was a guitar player, and he became a singer. And we started a band that was about early... I started with the singer at the end of 94. We were both 16. We listened to Nirvana, stuff like that. And we just started figuring out how to play the Nirvana Unplugged songs, you know. Huge then. Kurt Cobain had just died, and we were all, you know, in it. That's how it started. So we asked Ave, the drummer, to join us and start a band, and that's where it all took off. And that developed into a band called S5, which is the Dutch army code for if you're not allowed to go into the army because you're crazy, you get an S5.
Yeah, over here we call it 4F.
4F. 4F, okay. Well, we call it S5, Stability 5, because back then we were all like, we're against the army because we're alternative. You know, it was just very naive and idealistic.
You can do other stuff, right? You can volunteer social stuff.
Yeah. But we were never asked to join the army. If I had been born a year earlier, I would have, but they it used to be mandatory, but they changed it, and I was lucky to not go there, but
okay.
But we used it for a band name.
Sure.
Yeah.
When do you meet Jan Bart?
I met Jan Bart only a couple of years ago, actually, in the Groningen scene. There's a scene called Melodica. The Melodica Festival is like a worldwide thing, all very small and cozy. It's organized in a lot of cities, And there's one in Groningen too. And that's where I met John Bart, just in a bar hanging out. And his ex-girlfriend is someone I knew for a long time, so that was funny. That's how we met. And at a certain point, he went along with me when I went to play in Germany. And he said, next time I'm coming with you, I want to play along, and not just drink beer. And that's why he's playing with me now, and he's growing into it. He does guitar parts, he does a harmonium, which draws attention every time we play, whether it's a house concert or a small venue. There's always people coming up to the harmonium.
The harmonium is the most popular member of our band.
Why do you think so?
All the attention goes to the harmonium. It's really funny.
Why do you think so?
It looks exotic. It's this old instrument that no one really knows about or don't see that often.
So it's kind of mysterious?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the sound is kind of spooky, but atmospheric as well. And
it's drony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it one you have to pump yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with one, play the keys with the other one. Yeah.
Right, because they got electric ones now, and I think they're kind of lame.
I have not seen them. I don't know.
Wow.
I did not know. No.
I want to buy one and just put it through a lot of guitar effects, see what it does.
You probably get some big-ass drones.
I love big-ass drones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some guitars, there's a great musical museum in Brussels, and it's nothing past the 1900s, but these are the early versions of guitars that had many drone strings.
You mean the orbs?
Yeah, really strange guitars. Some of them had a couple more necks, and the necks weren't really for fingering. It was to carry these drone strings.
Yeah, I think you mean the orbs. Okay. They're used a lot in Baroque music.
Well, and of course the sitar has all kinds of drone strings. Yeah, they have strings right in the neck.
it's really strange to play these. I played a sitar a couple of weeks ago, okay. And I never played one. And it's really strange. It's a total different approach. But I like, I thought it sounded pretty good, but I didn't make a recording of it because it wasn't that good.
Look, guys, we're at the end of the first hour, July 21, 2017 edition of La for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. July 21st, 2017 is the second hour of the La for Pedro show.
I am playing a part that I can't step on. Ah! I love you. 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 I love
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with You Are a Movie from Audio Transparent. And Chris says he's got something he could tell us about that.
Also on that song is featured Eric and Tony from Great Lake Swimmers from Toronto.
Is there two versions of this song?
No.
Okay, so this is the... This was on an album, but it was also a B-side of a split 7-inch, right?
We did a double split 7-inch with Great Lake Swimmers. We met them about 12 years ago. We went to Toronto to play a couple of gigs in the Toronto area and Windsor.
They're kind of different. Windsor's by Detroit, and Toronto's closer to Buffalo.
Yeah, well, it's about 4 hours, I think.
You're talking about the Ontario, the whole province, yeah.
Okay. It's all I've seen of Canada, and actually...
Toronto's like their big New York town, you know. And yeah, Windsor, of course, is, by Detroit.
They call it themselves. Yeah, we went to Detroit, and it's actually the only American city that I've been to.
You still got time.
I still got time, I know. I'm coming back one day.
But Sounds like you're healthy. You'll make it over here soon. Don't worry.
I'm thinking about 3.5 years, I'll be coming to the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. We asked Tony and Eric, the banjo player, to play on the song. And they happened to be in The Hague when we were in the studio.
All right.
Actually, I wasn't there when they did it, even on the song. That's how that record was made.
That's the magic of recording. You know, you can do shit like that.
Yeah, and we just said to Bart, our singer, he was a singer, hey man, you're in charge, and we'll just be your session players. It was a bit like that. So I have four guitar parts.
Side men.
We're all side men. Yeah, I wrote some of the songs musically, then not the lyrics. I play. There's a couple of songs on the last record we did that I'm not playing on the studio versions. Live, I did, but there's also songs where I have three or four guitar parts. So it's just that was our method. You know, we tried it and it worked because the record was, you know, was received pretty well. But I think for the group process, it was killing because a couple of months later we kind of split up. So we're still all friends, but it just didn't happen anymore.
From Alfonso and Señor León with Chip Chaff. And you probably can tell me about that, Jan Bart.
Yeah, that's a demo we made. A friend of mine and me, when we were not in a band, my friend just was a Friday evening. And we just wanted to hang out and drink something, and my friend just brought a microphone. And I just happened to buy a melodica instrument. So we decided to test the microphone with some guitar and melodica, and this tune like instantly there.
Melodica is a little keyboard you blow into?
Yeah, with a tube. Yeah. So we recorded this demo thing on the spot, halfly improvised, and we added some percussion and bass later on, and ukulele.
I think the way you pronounce it is actually the Hawaiian way, but for some reason in the U.S. we say ukulele. Or uke for short. And then we got some from your friend Aaron Lum in Fukuoka there, Living in a Box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the band he's got over there, Godzilla Snacks with Be the Machine.
They're cool. I've never seen them live.
And then another suggestion from you, Revueleta Roja. With Coño Que Calor.
That is a cool tune.
Yeah. Then we had Nels Klein off his new record, or latest record, So Hard It Hurts. And finally, Jan Bart featuring John with Doorbell Ditty Number 2. A lot of little ditties you sent me here. I took your name. That's from a song?
Yep. It's from the R.E.M. album Monster from 94. I chose it as the name before I did my first solo gig, because the band just got into permanent hiatus.
I didn't feel like a musician anymore because I also had a day job at an engineering company. And music was always my outlet, and I felt the urge to do music again. So I started doing my solo stuff, and I started singing when I was 33. And then I got booked for my first gig. I didn't have a name, and then I thought, okay, my Twitter account is I Took Your Name. That's pretty suitable for a musical project. So I just decided to use that and maybe change it later on, but it stuck.
That's
so
great. We're going to hear Hell on a Hill.
Hell on a Hill.
Was
this a song early on?
No, I wrote that last year.
It's a more recent song. Okay.
Yeah. It's, you want to hear the story?
Let's listen. Let's listen.
And I can see tremendous horizons coming through tonight. I might be here for the wrong reasons. Coastal town 785. I want to meet the man. Worst of any kind. He's the sea that wants to take. There weren't as many mice as men. Coastal town 785. A sea of love in which you drown. When the spirit leaves the house, I can see the light, and I can see tremendous horizons. Coming through tonight, I might be here for the wrong reasons. Coastal town 785, sea of love in which you drown. When the spirit leaves the house, your dreams are crushed in the real world. Every man for himself. I can see the light, and I can see tremendous horizons.
Call all the animals and what you got is true. Talk to the animal who is the talker, you. I fed animals and now angry's me. Who cares of animals if I can't talk with you?
I'm
ますか？じゃあ、行きましょう。
行きましょう。
テイク1。
もうないよ。テイク2。
テイク2ない。テイク2ない。
エンジニアが言ってるかも、これは。
いや
You must get it.
That was Doorbell Ditty number 3 from Jan Bart. Before that, we had The Healers with Free Anxiety Therapy for the Poor 101 Part 2. Yeah, we'll hear Part 1 next time. I should start that. Bronx with 5MC. Brand new from those cats. Osaka Band. Drenga with Never Wake for Sheffield over in England. And then from Italy, you're the arch part, huh? With the heel. Arabia Sadara with Grande Successo. Oaks with How to Reach Loudly. Dan Bilzerian Summer Party. And then Super Freak with If I Were in Your Rain Boots. And start all off with I Took Your Name, Hell on a Hill. Explain, Chris.
I was asked to write a song about the Groningen scape. Groningen is the northern province of Holland.
Yeah.
Where the city of Groningen is, you know, is also is the capital of the province of Groningen. And in Groningen, there's a lot of I don't know the English word for it. There's a lot of artificial hills that they put up in the early days, so about 500 BC. To you know, the because the land here is very low, it would often get inundated by the sea, so they built these artificial hills to live on, so they always, you know, would keep dry feet. And one of the artificial hills that's still visible in the landscape is called Hellward, and there's a story about that in the year 785, that there's the missionary Ljotger. He came to bring Christianity to the region, and there was a blind poet named Burnleth, and he said, if you can give me my sight back, I will start believing in your God. So, you know, according to the story, he actually did it, and that's, you know, that's where the name comes from, because hell is also in German, hell means light.
Well, yeah, the gold, yeah, are shiny, right? Shiny, right?
Exactly. The first line in the song is, I can see the light.
Okay.
And that's also, okay, you know, that's taken from that. And it's also kind of an allegory, you know, because the moral of the story in the song is that you make someone very dependent. You know, I have power, and I'm making you very dependent on that power. Okay. And we also have a current problem in Groningen is induced earthquakes from gas mining. Not the fracking, just the actual extraction. They took so much gas from the ground, about 3 kilometers deep, that there's a lot of subsidence and actually earthquakes. They cause a lot of damage. And
we're starting to have problems in places like Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, that never had earthquakes before, and it's because of fracking, which is kind of drilling sideways and pushing water. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just fracking, it's also they put wastewater back into the ground.
That's right. Well, that's part of this fracking procedure.
Yeah, and that makes fault lines.
It destroys aquifers, it causes earthquakes. People can light their faucets on fire.
No, but are very disturbed here as well. So, and because we also the ground here is very clayish, so that's already very shaky. So when you get even a minor earthquake, can cause, you know, relatively a lot of damage.
Sure,
so
sure. Remember, I live in California. We're due for a big one.
Yeah,
and you don't even need the fracking.
It's just going to happen. That's an accident waiting to happen. Absolutely. You know,
so maybe you don't want to build nuclear power plants around here.
I wouldn't do that. No, you can make, you know, you can build a building and make it earthquake proof. You know,
also, get this, Chris. We got giant deserts that you can put solar cells and wind power. Yep. Hey, we've reached the end of the second hour, July 21st, 2017 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Special guests Chris and Jan Bart. Hold tight for hour 3. July 21st, 2017. It's the third hour. Watch from Pete Rose Show. Thank you.
different life. As you, my friend, survive. As you, beheaded alive.
Jesus, come from Galilee.
We're just strong. pimped up truck today. Opened up its doors and let the light come whore away. Took all my questions and it tied them to the tracks. And it rolled away the stone and it painted it black. Face down and your head's a frown again. A fat ass crack broke your mother's back again. Lovers on the fritz and a couple other guys. And Brady said to wait for the white summer ride. Voices in my head are back in.
For Pedro Show, started the third hour off with Try One from I Took Your Name. Tell us, Chris.
That song, it's one of the first songs I recorded when I started playing solo. It was recorded with Gijs. He was a guitar player in Audio Transparent, and he has his own studio. And he just started setting it up back then. That was about 2012. It's about 5 years ago. And five years on, he built his own really neat studio. It's really cool. I recorded some new songs there the past month. But Try One was recorded in his home studio back then, and it was all there's even a hairdryer in it. We tried to make it as atmospheric as possible. It's written about a painting by a Canadian painter about his experiences in World War
One. What was his name?
Jackson, if I remember it well. It's a long time ago. I think it was Jackson. I should Google it. But the painting is of a snowy village in Canada.
They got a few of them.
Yeah, it's quite a few. So I imagined him. I tried to get inside his head.
Yeah.
And know what he was thinking when he was painting that village, and maybe he was thinking of his experiences in Belgium during World War One, where he was a soldier, a Canadian soldier, which, you know, that never leaves you. So I imagine that, you know, that snowy thing on maybe what snowy thing he saw in Belgium back then. I don't know. was my fantasy, let loose on it. But
yeah. No, so he came from a course.
This Czech writer named Milan Kundera.
I've heard the name. I've never read something.
He wrote a book. They made a movie of called Incredible Lightness of Being. But he also wrote a book called Immortality. And and it's the strangest premise. He just sees some older lady at the indoor swimming pool make a wave, you know, a little hello gesture, and he invents this whole character. He knows nothing about her, you know. But gives her a name, gives her a whole story. And that's the trippy thing about art. And especially another artist inspiring another artist. Because they're all guesses, right?
Yeah.
But it's all part of, in a way, it's part of a creative response to something human. And I think it's quite valid. I also played the Soft Pink Truth doing a cover of Nervous Gender. You know, we heard Nervous Gender earlier in the show. I love that man. Late 70s Hollywood scene, East L.A. band. Anyway, they did a cover of Confession, which I remember the first time I heard Nervous Gender do that live, it blew me away. It was like, you know, I came from arena rock. I had never been to clubs until the movement, and it was just a trip. So this is these people a few years later doing a synth. Macmos, I think, Brother Drew has his band now. Then we heard Grandpa's Ghost out of St. Louis. They got a new double album, the Nelly Loves Me. Some Shapes of Howie Reeve turned me on to these cats. Normal as Fuck. Fluffers Union out of San Antonio, Texas, with Voices in My Head. Yeah, bass man runs that band. And finally, Jan Bart with Doorbell Ditty number 4. Jan Bart, you got to tell us about these Doorbell ditties. I mean, what's this about?
That was an experiment I did, because I couldn't. I didn't record music at all before, so this was just for me to practice recording at home. And I found this MP3 doorbell somewhere, and I thought, hey, this is a cool gift for someone. I can make some doorbell ditties that I can put on this MP3 doorbell and just give it for a present. So I started doing some different ideas just to experiment with recording, and
sure.
I got some help from some friends. So I made 26 ditties with the help with the help of some friends, and you can find it on Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Yeah, but your command of the language. I mean, ditty is kind of a slang word, kind of old timey slang word.
But, is it?
Yeah, there must be a Dutch word for ditty, or maybe you borrow it. I don't know. But it's very interesting to see it resurrected like that. Look, we're going to play. Chris, can you tell me about this? You Faded Like a Star on the Late Show.
Yeah, that song was released 2 years ago. I made a split sub-ninch with Alain Fournier, which is the alter ego of Frank Bond, who lives in a village close to Amsterdam. It's called Volendam. And he is in this really cool band called Alaska, with a C, Alaska. He also has a record label called King Forward. And I met him, and we decided to do a split. And I wrote the song You Faded Like a Star on The Late Show, which I think already 5 years earlier, I had the idea of that song. I played it really fast back then, and I decided to slow it down. And I wrote these lyrics to it. The lyrics are about, I like to have ambiguous lyrics. They're not really direct, you know, you can't really tell what they're about.
Yeah.
But they make perfect sense. I separated from a girlfriend a couple of years ago, and that's in the lyrics. And also my cat died, and that's also in the lyrics. It's just my way of dealing with things, I think.
Okay, let's listen.
Ground.
you that served a lifetime in your house. Wanted to be out of town. All wrong. Everyone is on the line. You come into mind every time I try. Creature crawling on the ground.
Versenkt ihre Trauer in einem Stück süßer Buttercremetorte. Fritz, ihr Mann, arbeitet bei der Ausländerbehörde, kontrolliert Asylanträge, war immer auf die Pflicht bedacht. Jetzt hat er sich in Aisha verliebt. Aisha, hat er im Traum gesagt. Aisha, meine Geliebte.
Die Lände voll Blut, die Köpfe aus Holz. Kommt Männer zurück an die Waffen. Treibt aus eure Träume mit Vaterlandsstolz. Und gebt euren Frauen zu hoffen.
Behörde nach Hause kommt, sitzt Erna vor dem Fernseher und versinkt ihre Trauer in einem Stück süßer Buttercremetorte. Fritz setzt sich in die Küche und kaut finster ein paar Salzkartoffeln. Er denkt an Aishas schönen Mund und dass sie und ihre Sippe sich an Deutschland stößt gesund.
Fritz wünscht sich, nein, er hofft auf eine starke Hand, die eint das Land wie früher.
unsere Nächstenliebe. Aber Fritz hat nur ein winzig kleines Herz. Und dieses winzig kleine Herz, das ist viel zu klein für all die vielen Menschen. Sein winzig kleines Herz, das gehört Erna, nicht Aisha. Erna. Brechen durch das Unterholz mit Sack und Pack. Männer, Frauen, Kinder, rote, schwarze, gelbe, alle wollen unser Brot. Wie früher.
Auf einer schönen schön war.
my window. Another nature walk. So
fresh air, jump into the water, or jump into the snow, into the melting snow.
Last music for this edition, people. You Faded Like a Star on the Late Show. I Took Your Name. Then we heard Kim Ballman Kester. They're out of Berlin. With the Fuhrer aus Erna Schon War. And then the first year from I Took Your Name. Sputnik Trio out of Spain doing the Leaving a Hole in Every Town live. That's a live rendition. And then I Took Your Name once more with Like Wax. And finally, Doorbell Ditty number 5. Jan Burt featuring Bjorn. Plans. Like you guys are going to Germany tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do just 3 shows. It's just a really small weekend thing. We're going to Aachen.
This
is a beautiful... Charlemagne is buried there.
Yeah, Charlemagne, the first big king of Europe. I got to play a place called the Music Bunker there.
Okay, we're going to Rastetter, which is a really nice place, so looking forward to it. Then we're going to Bayreuth, which is in the south, Wagner city.
Aachen is very close to Holland.
It is, yeah. It's 5 kilometers, something like that. But it's still 4 hours away from here because it's...
Because you're in the north in Groningen.
North in Groningen.
North, yeah, so...
And what's the second town?
Bayreuth.
Okay.
And that's the... it's most famous for its Wagner Festspiele.
Okay.
Wagner, you know, the composer?
Sure, Richard Wagner. Or Wagner.
Richard Wagner, yeah. I always pronounce it in the German, Wagner.
It should be that, okay, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I speak German. Well,
yeah, but I mean, the man was German, so maybe we should call it with the V sound, no problem. He has a big part of the Apocalypse Now soundtrack. Descent of the Valkyrie, I think.
It's pretty epic, you know.
It goes together with helicopters 100 years before its time.
Yeah.
And what's the third town?
It's Fulda, and we're going to just do an in-store there. It's just on the way home.
What are the plans after that?
Well, I finished recording an album, and that's going to be released in October. And the song, the first year you just played, is going to be on it. You got a premiere there.
Okay.
Because, it's not, I haven't even
that's
played
great.
It
you know,
that way.
You know what's interesting about your story is you stopped playing for a while and then you came back.
Yeah.
Okay, so... If a young person was going to ask you advice about music, you know, coming from that kind of experience, what would you tell them?
If he wanted to start a band or do his own solo thing or...
Just music.
Just music, yeah. Just make the music you like to make. Don't really compromise. Just follow your heart. And if you're in a band, a band is not just about being able to play... And proficient at your instrument. It's also about communication, and never forget about that part. Communication is key in music.
That's really great stuff, Chris. What about you, young Bart? Do you have any advice you'd give a young person getting into music?
They should never stop practicing, even when things are low, when nothing is happening. They should always just even. Yeah, never stop playing.
John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, they were way into prac.
They sure were, yeah.
You know, Coltrane used to prac after gigs. I met this guy, Akira Sakata, who went to the Hiroshima show. And after the gig, there's John Coltrane. You know, he just played 3 hours, his brain's out. He's got a towel around his head, and he's practicing. You know, he came back to get his album signed, you know. He couldn't believe. Look, it's been a great honor to have both of you on the show. I wish you the best of luck with your little trip here and then afterwards with the new music that's coming. I really...
Thank you, sir.
I love the band. I love the sounds. It's very heartfelt to me. It doesn't sound jive. I really dig it. So thanks so much for sharing your story with the listeners here on the Watt from Pedro show. Very kind of you. And keep on keeping on.
Yeah, right on. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks so much.
People, it's been the July 21st, 2017 edition of Pedro Show. Special guests, Jan Bart Leeuw and Chris van der Ploeg of I Took Your Name. Keep your powder dry.